Welcome, everyone. This is the LaRouche Show, July 30th, 2011. My name is Marcia Mary Baker. Our topic for today is No More Bullshit. America needs new leadership now. And I'm glad to welcome on the show two members of the leaders who are mustering the new leadership in the United States. From the slate of six LaRouche Democratic candidates running for Congress in the United States, we have from the Western states, Houston, Texas. Welcome, Keisha Rogers.
Hi, Marcia. Hello.
Hi, it's a good connection. Keisha, of course, is running for Democratic candidate for Congress in the 22nd district there. And from Seattle, welcome, Dave Christie.
Hi, Marcia.
Likewise, who is running for Congress there. And we, what we're just by way of introduction, I think if anyone has had unfortunately tuned in a radio or television for 28 hours a day, you're witnessing now in Washington, D.C., bullshit. You are witnessing what you could call kind of not leadership, it's non-leadership or actually anti-leadership of the human race in the extreme. It's kind of dodo behavior. It makes the dinosaurs look good. And the situation is simply that the monetarist system is blowing out, and it's coming in the context of extreme physical threats to humanity posed by conditions of our own planet, the solar system, and the galaxy. And so the real task of anyone thinking and being a credit to our species would be finding it in ourselves to enlist people to be human and to be creative and loving and take action to restore conditions in which people, nations exist, and we have a credit system to serve what we have to do as a people to upgrade our planet, our situation with water, soils, power, and really create conditions for future creativity and growth. Hence our drive, as most of you regular listeners know, to have Glass-Steagall, the law that worked to segregate out, to protect credit for such things as I described, and to penalize and let it go to hell any speculation or casino activity. This is part of our constitutional heritage. It's part of a scientific approach. And we will put it this way. About 10 days ago, on July 21st, Mr. LaRouche gave an international webcast in which he said, "Now is the time for solutions. There are no other options than this, or it's doom." Now, I'll just say that this, his complete transcript with questions and answers, is leads the new EIR online. It's number 29. And it also has Mr. LaRouche's warning that the enemy who would want this kind of destruction, the imperial, it's easy, best to call it perhaps the British imperial system, the present day form of this kind of oligarchic rule, the danger is ever present right now that they would resort to some act of violence, terrorism, like the Reichstag fire maneuver used to put Hitler in as dictator, and use the Obama presidency for some, at least have the intention of using it for a dictatorship. That's what we're up against. Now, that said, what happened is Keisha Rogers and others in person and I guess on the phone met with Mr. LaRouche a few times in the last 10 days. And on July 25th, Keisha has issued her own statement, No More Bullshit, it's Glass-Steagall or Die. And let's begin with that, Keisha. What are you stressing to people about the situation?
Well, the situation that we face right now is absolutely clear that all practical notions of discussion and debate on the livelihood and the lives of the population must be stopped. I said it very clearly in this statement that the population, they're sick and tired of the political posturing that is going on amongst the so-called leadership of the institutions of government. And the reality that we're faced with at this moment of time in time is can really be looked at going back to what Mr. LaRouche outlined in his July 25th, 2007 webcast, which was reaffirmed in this recent webcast that he did on July 21st, just a few days ago, where he outlined once again that the entire global financial system is at a point of total disintegration, and that the backers of the current president in the United States, the ones that put this puppet in the White House, who has in every single moment that he's been in there violated the oath of office to uphold the Constitution, the principles of our Declaration, not only violated it, has been a utter tool of this British and Wall Street financial interest, whose ultimate goal is to destroy the sovereignty of nation states. And you look at what we've seen in terms of the continued disintegration of our physical economy, this whole bailout policy of Wall Street and the bailout of the foreign banks of the Inner Alpha Group in London, shows that our political leadership is completely out of touch with reality, and the population knows it. And if you think about what's happening right now, people are outraged. You have a situation where you take what just happened with the recent auditing of the Fed, Ben Bernanke, found guilty of the crime of stealing $16 trillion. And we're sitting here having frivolous debates over a debt ceiling, and this is what people are being manipulated by and brainwashed by every single day in the media, where the ticker-tackers of CNN and so forth are going off talking about how much time we have before the United States doesn't have any more money, or, you know, till we get a negotiation on, you know, whether or not we're going to raise the debt ceiling, lower the debt ceiling. But the reality that people have to face right now is that the question which now faces the survival of human civilization lies in the understanding of this question of what is the immortal human species? What does it mean to be human? And all of this debate about a debt ceiling is thrown out the window, because our species survival depends on changing our scientific outlook in the universe, and man's role in the universe. Because you think about it, let's be frank here. The debt ceiling debate, it's not going to solve the problem of the fact that we've faced a physical scientific collapse of our economy for the past 40 years now, or more. You know, going back to when Mr. LaRouche, and we should talk about this a little bit more, made his forecast prior to the August 15, 1971, of Nixon bringing in the floating exchange rate. But you've seen for the past 40 years a collapse in physical economic production, people moving away from science into a system of monetarism, into belief in money being the root of economic development. And so now what we're faced with right now is, because of the insanity of the political policies of our nation, and because people have gone along with this monetarist system, you're looking at the situation where we're trying to use monetary measures to solve the crisis of a physical economic collapse. And so the debt ceiling debate, what is it going to accomplish? Is it going to bring jobs to the millions of unemployed? Is it going to bring food to the malnourished children who are in the United States and elsewhere going to school every day without food and without proper nourishment? Is it going to put the millions of people back in their homes again that have been thrown out of their homes due to these foreclosures, or protect the cities and states and municipalities that have been swindled into going along with these offshore budget, these policies of bonds to invest in foreign bonds against the productive nature of their cities and their citizens. So this is where we're at right now. And the population has to stand up and fight, because at this moment, as I said, everybody knows that the political posturing is a negotiation over the lives of the population. This is a policy to kill the population, to continue to bail out the financial interests of the Wall Street and London financial interests. And as made clear, until Obama is out, unless Obama is out, and unless we actually go with the policies of restoring Glass-Steagall, then we're shooting ourselves in the foot here. And that's what the leadership of this nation has to understand.
Right. And Dave, you may want to reply right away or not.
I would like to add that I think that Keisha's statement, which was a very powerful and hard-hitting statement, in terms of coming from this national leadership core of the slate, mm-hmm. Representing our activities nationally, coming from her, I think it carries an extra special punch in terms of how she worded it. But particularly if you go back to what happened in 2010 of this extreme failure, and it's useful to review it, although I think people have this in their minds, that, after the administration of Cheney and Bush, you had an American population that was, they would have voted for Winnie the Pooh, to get these guys out. And you had the Obama operation being run for various reasons, and you had an overwhelming landslide victory to put the Democrats in. And under this British puppet Obama, they continued the exact same policies, actually in many ways have gone beyond what Bush and Cheney were doing in terms of the police state measures and so forth. And then in terms of, cutting the living standards of the population. And so in 2010, after 2 years of the Democrats under Obama and the Democratic leadership capitulating to Obama and continuing this policy, you had an American population which was livid, and they wanted, they went to the polls in 2010 to vote these guys out, and of course then voted in a bunch of right-wing fascists typified by the likes of Rand Paul. And so this is just what we've seen, is under the grip of this partisan party politics and playing along with the club rules, the American people just get swindled every time. Now, what the campaign that Keisha led, which of course you also had Summer and Rachel who were running at that time, but what Keisha did very clearly was said, look, impeach Obama, save NASA. That was mm-hmm. her clarion call. And she went out loud and clear with that message. She won her primary based on that. You had then, of course, the Democratic Party, which still succumbed to the, you'd think that they would have had a wake-up call, mm-hmm. Maybe we should take the lesson from the voters that they're tired of what the Democratic Party has done in capitulation to Obama. And but instead, they refused to give Keisha any money for her campaign, any access to voters' lists, you name it, no support. The campaign there, and Keisha and her staff just gladly said, well, we are glad to not be endorsed by party hacks, and waged the campaign. And Pete Olson was reelected, but here's a guy that said he was going to stand for NASA, and look at where NASA is in the dumps. We just had the final manned space mission, or at least final for now. We're going to bring it back in an even bigger way, but we have the takedown of all these satellites that are necessary for across the board, just about everything from farming to this idea of the precursors around the seismic activity, collecting data for all kinds of useful knowledge for man's role on the planet and beyond. And so this is the point, is that what Keisha did in uttering this statement and saying, I'm going to stand for principle. I'm not going to play the partisan politics. I'm going to be clear on what needs to be done for the nation. I just think, you know, what if her words had actually been listened to? Where would we be now? We would have been in, you know, Obama out with Glass-Steagall in. We would have had the credit policy enabled for projects such as NWAPA to be already breaking ground, full funding for NASA to, you know, we would be already on the way, on the road to recovery. And instead, we're in this insanity of debate around the debt ceiling, which I'll just mention this right now because I think it is useful for the population to understand this. It, you know, when Keisha mentioned brainwashing, it is a classic form of brainwashing. You know, you set up the terms of the debate. You say, well, we couldn't possibly default on our loans, therefore we have to raise the debt ceiling. And, you know, if we're going to do that, then it's now just a question of what do we have to cut, and if we're not going to cut, what taxes are we going to raise? And you lock people into, you know, what could be called a Reesian choice, where you think that this is the terms of the game. You just have choice A and choice B. Meanwhile, the actual, you know, poetic mind would know that this is not the only options. There is another alternative, and that's exactly what we've laid forward. With Glass-Steagall, you put this system through an audit, you find out what debt is legitimate, and based on what we would have as a legitimate national debt, just like Hamilton, you see it as a national blessing, and you, in order to make good on your debt, you launch the kind of economic measures that are going to make, you know, have that be extinguished. And if you need to take on more debt, you do so under Glass-Steagall standards, which will actually enable, which will make sure that the kind of debt you're going into is what is, as LaRouche has outlined in the most clear sense, that you've got to be advancing the energy flux density of the system. So that's, I would just say, here we are in this insanity of the debate, but I think what Keisha's statement represents is exactly what the real leadership of this nation knows. It's not about this partisan politics. It's not about the club rules. It's about what do we need to get out of this crisis, and what is the constitutional system that we have to return back to.
Right. Keisha, one thing you mentioned in your statement, and you just touched on it a few minutes ago, that you said the population is ready for honest leadership. And a few minutes ago, you referred to the physical conditions in which people are facing their housing crisis, joblessness, literal malnutrition of our children in the nation, extreme conditions. So do you want to say more about, this process of the individuals stepping out who are responding when you sound the call of what has to be done?
Yeah, I think the reality is that people feel it in their bones that what we're faced with right now is a real challenge to the population of their identity, their human identity, and the question of their ability to not only survive this crisis, because that's not what we're out for, but people know that right now we're, as the entire global financial system is faced with a point of disintegration. What I also made clear in the statement is that people feel the same types of destruction against the population as was witnessed during the period of 9/11, which Mr. LaRouche had warned about. And they know that this system, which is about to come down on top of everybody's heads, the only chance it has of surviving, the only chance that Obama's British and London financial backers have of actually propping this system up, is to go for immediate dictatorship. And anybody who fails to go after and actually put forth that reality is not fit for leadership. Because the clear thing is the population needs very honest, clear, decisive leadership. People who are not playing the political game, because people are hurting right now. And they see it, that the leadership in office at the present time represents a quality of just a go along to get along, to kiss butt, and to push forth a debate which is going against the true nature of what mankind and what civilization is faced with right now. And you see this popping up all over the place, the various bombings and shootings in Norway and other parts of the country and other parts of the world, attacks on nations, the violation of constitution to go into wars with Libya and other places. And you have all of these hot spots, as people would call it, of terror and disaster going on. And the reality is that as this is going on, people are refusing to go after the mother and the initiator of this process of destruction, which is the attack on human creative nature, human development of scientific progress in nation states, which is coming directly from this British imperial system to actually push a policy of destruction against nations and in order to continue to prop up their system of monetarism. And that's what people are responding to. They're responding to the fact that what we represent, the slate of six LaRouche Democrats and the LaRouche PAC leadership represents, is a clear leadership of the really facing the question, the scientific reality, and giving people this true scientific reality of what mankind faces, what the human species is faced with if they don't change their ways immediately, and if we don't change the question and debate of economic policy from and political policy from just that and just the political posturing that we see going on now to really getting at this underlying question of, you know, take for instance Glass-Steagall. Our fight for Glass-Steagall is not just a fight for some practical measures of stopping the banking collapse or getting Congress members to feel guilty, to guilt them into signing on to a piece of legislation. The fight for Glass-Steagall is truly a fight for this question of the human immortal identity, the fight for return to the principles of our Constitution. And it's a war for the nation and a war for mankind, and that's what people are responding to, is that we're giving them this opportunity again to participate in this human identity of what it truly means and what differs us from the other species. So when we're going out and organizing the population, or when we're going to the meetings of state legislators or city council members, the ultimate objective is to challenge them on this higher question, which differs us as a core leadership and true representation of leadership for the nation in this period than any other practical discussions or so-called leadership that's going to the population and feeding them a bunch of crap that the population knows is not going to provide any type of solution.
Yeah, I guess that's partly tied up on what you said in your statement, and no college tries are going to be good enough. You don't want any sideliner, you know, people wishing us well or going through the motions. And with that, let me ask Dave, you've personally been at a lot of meetings. If you look at the national map of statements, actions, endorsements for Glass-Steagall, that Congress should act, it calls for Congress to move on this. You have these legislative districts across Washington state, and you personally were at one just the other night, I think. And you must see the whole nine yards of people who are maybe guilted into passing something, but on the other hand, a real transformation of some people.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's notable. I've mentioned this before, but you know, these are often people within the Democratic Party or certain labor circles up here, which we've had a just about 30 years of interaction with, and fights along the way. And in fact, you know, in the time that we were, you know, fighting to save Social Security under Bush and Cheney, or fighting to get Cheney out, we would run into a buzzsaw of opposition from some of the Democratic Party circles for, you know, some of this is the historical reasons, some of it, you know, whatever the reasons may have been. It was opposition, getting thrown out of meetings, so on and so forth. So here we are years later with, you know, which many of them are very aware that we have put a Hitler mustache on the Democratic Party president, and are bringing us in and having a dialogue on Glass-Steagall, and are very open to this question of Obama. I'm not saying they're endorsing it or anything. I mean, we're having some serious fights, but because of the nature of the situation, we're seeing them move and be us acting as a catalytic factor, getting them to do what they know they should be doing. You know, and if the Democratic Party were sane, they would have already been moving full steam ahead on Glass-Steagall, full steam ahead on this Roosevelt New Deal plan. You know, so yeah, that's why I would say that. And I would also add, I have noticed that there are definitely more senior citizens active, just even in the short term time in the recent period here around organizing around Glass-Steagall. We are seeing more of the seniors come out who, you know, they know that they're on the chopping block. It's very clear now. Obama has just made it clear that Social Security, Medicare, already the Medicaid, state Medicaid payments here in Washington, they're not allowing any other people to enroll on the Medicaid. So, you know, people, they understand what's coming down the pike in terms of them being on the chopping block. So what we have done is act as a catalytic factor, and the leadership out front carrying the flag saying, look, this is the only solution, you know it, move with us.
Right, and there are, what do you have, six out of the, are there 49 legislative districts that have passed Glass-Steagall?
Yeah, I believe it's six, yep. And more to come, you know, many more with the resolutions and their resolutions committee or tabled for next month. So there's, you know, more to come.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, it goes without saying it's a process. And continuing on that, unless you want to develop more, but as you, Dave, you reiterated, Keisha, you were saying impeach Obama, save NASA. I mean, this is a message heard around the world. And what about, Dave mentioned senior citizens. Both Texas and Washington State were in the times of, say, John F. Kennedy, in productive times, aerospace centers, Boeing in Seattle and everything that goes with it, the Hanford Nuclear Research Facility in Washington State, and of course, Texas, your Johnson Space Flight Center and everything else. Do you find any special differentiation of people stepping up to their citizenship roles or reconsidering their roles or activity, Keisha?
Yes, I can say you take, for instance, the whole shutdown of the manned space program, and you've seen that there has been, you would expect that there would be an outrage in the population because the Johnson Space Center, NASA manned space flight doesn't just represent something of a quality of, you know, our, you know, that was good back during the time of FDR and it was good while it lasted. Mm-hmm. But people know that this is a representation of what America and what our nation was founded on. Mm-hmm. The principles of this higher conception of the scientific identity and the creative identity of our nation. And what's ironic about the situation that we face right now, you think about this whole debate going on with the debt ceiling, mm-hmm. about how to, you know, balance the budget or raise the debt, lower the debt, so forth. And as I said earlier, what is this going to actually do in terms of answering the question or providing for the physical economic productions that have been destroyed in the economy? Nothing. And if you take what Dave brought up earlier, what our true constitutional nature, going back to the principles of Alexander Hamilton, credit system, Article 1, Section 8 of our U.S. Constitution, and the ideas going back to our, the founding of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, what does that exemplify? It says that, you know, this whole debt ceiling debate is a farce, because the more you are investing in the higher modes of productivity and scientific and technological progress, into higher modes of increases in energy flux density, which NASA represents. As we saw during President Kennedy, for every penny we put into the space program, 10 cents was put back into physical economic production. And people know this. People see that, you know, what we're looking at right now is a commitment not to the lives of the American people and to increasing this economic progress, but is a commitment to the policies of destruction, the policies of genocide. And that's why when we're fighting with people about that, the fight for NASA, the fight for saving manned spaceflight, is not just a fight to save jobs and, you know, keep communities built, but this is a real challenge to the soul of human creative development. And you look at from the populations responding to, as Mr. LaRouche made clear in his last webcast, the real fight here is, can we destroy this whole conception of the nature of mankind that has been turned into a bestial nature, that man is no different from the animal, that we don't need to look at what's happening with NASA, from the shutdown of not just manned space flight, but the shutdown of the satellite systems, those things which allow us to protect the population from natural disasters and to forecast these disasters coming, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, you name it, protecting the population in terms of what we're seeing right now is the destruction of our food crops. Those things are being done not just by the shutdown of NASA, they're being done as an intentional policy to kill the population, a policy of genocide. And that's why when Mr. LaRouche said in this webcast that we have to destroy this greenie policy, the policy of environmentalism and the second law of thermodynamics, which says that, you know, it's not in the nature of mankind for scientific and technological progress, but that we have to continue to reverse man's role in the universe, reversing it and taking man to lower, taking our economy and our production to lower and lower states of development. That's what the real fight is against. That's what the real fight is, that it is that we're waging when we're fighting for NASA. We're fighting to restore man's power and creative role in the universe, which is being destroyed by these anti-science greenies who are a reflection of, you know, Obama's science, so-called science advisors, and people who want to continue to go with the destruction and the shutdown of NASA. But this whole debate gets at this debt ceiling debate gets at that very question. If you're not willing to fight for this higher conception of man, then it's just, it's a farce debate.
Right. Let me throw in here, I'll remind people you're listening to The LaRouche Show. It's July 30th, 2011, with Keisha Rogers, Dave Christie from The Slate of Six, respectively from Houston and Seattle. And Keisha, let me throw in, you've mentioned this, the leadership drive to have in our nation. One thing your fellow candidate in the slate, Bill Roberts in Detroit, just had a town hall meeting, I think a couple of days ago, perhaps July 27, in which, in particular, he went after this degraded view of the universe must run down, you know, this, like a clock, the second law of thermodynamics, have heat death or something. And he, there is posted, people should look on the LaRouche Political Action Committee for a posting by a presentation of the LaRouche PAC's basement R&D group, Ben Denniston, for an hour that he gave to that town hall meeting in Detroit on just the subject that you're saying. We have to destroy this degraded outlook. And Dave, you mentioned 30 years of political activity in your part of the world. Part of the Seattle has that unfortunate greeny reputation, I guess, vying with California. But you must see this dropping away among some people who hear the call, right?
Well, you know, it's true. The Pacific Northwest had become somewhat of the Shangri-La for the greeny, the burgeoning greeny movement of the late 60s, which was, of course, heavily financed and, you know, bankrolled by the likes of Rockefeller and company. So yeah, we do have the probably one of the core centers between here in San Francisco of this environmentalism, which, to be clear, and I thought, you know, the way that Diane Sayre handled this in her testimony in New Jersey, I think this gets to the very core of the question, right? Governor Christie, in line with this environmentalist policy, which, you know, as I mentioned, is so clearly funded by international financial circles who see this as a way to drive mankind back to the status of the beasts. You know, here they are shutting down the nuclear capabilities of New Jersey and replacing it with this insanity of windmills and solar panels. And Diane's statement was just very clear to the point on the question of energy flux density, the question on this as being an attempt to a genocidal policy, and reference that this is part of this green agenda is a very clearly genocidal in its intent and in terms of its what actually comes out of it, in terms of driving the living standards through the floor and creating the capabilities that, you know, we can't even reproduce life for the coming generations. So, but yeah, I think we have to, in the fight around Glass-Steagall, I'd bring this up from Leandra's video on, from the other, maybe last night, where she makes the point that this question of Glass-Steagall and the question of destroying the green agenda. Because one thing that we do come up with up here in terms of our organizing is we run into people that are gung-ho about Glass-Steagall and are helping to organize with us and so forth, but they are insane on this environmentalism stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, specifically even citing the second law as a reason why we can't have nuclear power and so forth, right? So now it's been on our minds that even if we were to get Glass-Steagall through and continue to, you know, in terms of a so-called banking reform, but not address these fundamental axioms of economy and science, then it would really be all for naught. You know, the question of Glass-Steagall is not just simply this banking reform. It is intimately tied with the scientific development, with the idea that economics really is physical science from the standpoint that just as what happens in the biosphere, and this is very clearly laid out by the work that the basement crew is doing on this, that the biosphere itself is evolving, even though in the individual species will die off, as a whole, there's an overall progression to a higher capability for the species that come after the ones that die off, you know, in terms of mobility, in terms of really an energy flux density idea. You know, it's been referred to, but, you know, the idea that these lizards have to sit and lay around in the sun just to get enough energy, right? And whereas these mammals have a, you know, they require a lot more food, a lot more energy intake, but are very much more productive in their capabilities. So, and, you know, it is useful to note that I think part of the greenie agenda coming from the likes of Prince Philip and so forth is that, you know, since he himself is part of this lizard species, I think he wants to drag everybody back down to that potential. But yeah, I think we just have to hit that hard here, and really hit that across the nation as what this testimony by Diane did represent, which is that it's not a distinct issue. The question of environmentalism and destroying the green agenda and Glass-Steagall are not distinct in any sense of the matter at all. It is to have the kind of credit capable of generating the same kind of, you know, upshifts that we see within the biosphere, that has to be our outlook on economics. And, you know, LaRouche had outlined that in the recent weekly report. I thought he did it very, very succinctly on this question of the science driver, you know, what Keisha had mentioned with the, you know, every penny going into NASA, you get 10 cents out of it. LaRouche had outlined that, you know, this pioneering effort in terms of an initial science driver, that it may be the seeming cost of resources, not even just in just forget the monetary terms, think of the cost of the resources and time and material put into these science driver initiatives, the initial cost of that relative to what you get out of it in an immediate sense is insane. But as you go on and you make these your science driver capabilities accessible and, you know, available to the rest of the population, then you're automatically upshifting and increasing the growth potential of your population. And that's, you know, exactly, it's the same concept of what happens in the biosphere. And, you know, as far as I you know, this may be even a sense of what goes on in the galactic processes and so forth too, of, you know, planets and solar systems and, you know, stars and so forth that burn out but are incorporated into a higher process, a higher order of development. And this, you know, this is probably what Leibniz is getting at, but that may be for another discussion. But yeah, I think that point that there's no dichotomy of Glass-Steagall and this green agenda. We have to destroy this green agenda once and for all. I think people will be liberated if they could just take a minute and stop the foaming at the mouth of just the years of brainwashing they've endured about you know, being indoctrinated into this green agenda. If they could just relax, have a human discussion about it, we could find out that we could have a lot more fun launching the kind of economic initiatives such as NWAPA, you know, these kind of satellite technologies to deal with the crisis we face out here along the Pacific Rim, the Ring of Fire here, and we could actually get on to doing what mankind should be doing, which is pushing the frontiers of their creative potential, the development of human mind, and have the culture and society be advancing in that way, and have this development of science and technology be a forum to express that which is unique to the human condition of being creative.
Yes, let me stress again, you mentioned in passing Mr. LaRouche's weekly appearance on the weekly report on LaRouche Political Action Committee. I think he began with saying science is all but dead, and going into that meaning after decades of the kind of brainwashing you both have been discussing, the kind of delimiting of terms in which people think so that they would even tolerate this crazy debt ceiling debate. Mm-hmm. And so it ends up being an inhibition, a kind of part of the way people are enslaved by popular opinion.
Yeah, Marcia, if I could add one quick
thing,
this is just something that I thought of. When I was a kid, I just bringing this up because I think it goes to it's even deeper than just simply a rational argument for, you know, say the second law and why we can't possibly progress because we're running down the environment, since everything's all running down anyway, the God who wound up the clock at the beginning, and it's all just sort of exploded, and now we're just waiting for it all to fall away. That idea has become pervasive, and in even ways I don't even think people understand. I was actually reflecting on a time when I came home from school. I think I was probably 6 or 7, maybe a little older. I can't remember exactly. And I had asked my dad, I said, I had a somewhat just very what seemed obvious question to me, where I said, "Dad, is it true that we've pretty much figured out everything there is to figure out in terms of science?" And just the initial asking that question, he just looked at me with this like shocked and horrified look, and was just like, "No, why would you ever possibly think that?" You know, because he saw this despair in me. And I'm bringing that up because I think that when you get into this discussion of the second law and that there is no creativity or anything left other than just figuring out the mathematics of this entropic system, that has a way of even pervading down to a younger generation and demoralizing the hell out of them, mm-hmm. in ways they don't even think about it. And that, I think, that kind of destruction of a young mind's capability of understanding what the limitlessness is, what could be of mankind, but seeing this sort of cynicism and pessimism all around is even, in one sense, even more sad than the kind of needless deaths we see, you know, such as what's going on in Africa right now is just a prime example of this. But increasingly now, the living standards being dropped, that kind of guttural, you know, just disgusting display of these policies, but I think that sense of the mind not having an ability to grow in advance, that's even more depressing in that sense.
Right. And Keisha, you've raised different times that we, and in particular, we're going for certain, reaching out especially to certain, an age group before the destruction takes over. You mentioned, 25 to 35 year olds. I mean, that's part of this too.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, this question of educating the late leadership of our nation, mm-hmm. and the future leadership of the nation, because the only chance that civilization has of surviving, and Mr. LaRouche made this clear on his weekly report, that everyone listening to this broadcast should actually watch, and they should take our website absolutely as their tool and the weapon for defeating this insane system of environmentalism and monetarism, because it's intertwined. It's the same thing. And it goes back to this very clear question of educating the process on the scientific reality that we face. And our generation, the generation between the ages of 25 to 35 and 35 to 45, they're the ones that's in the middle of this fight. They're the ones that's seeing that their future for the next two generations and their children's future are being put on the chopping block. It's being put on the chopping block. And so I think it gets back at this ultimate question of not having, this is what our organization and the leadership of the six LaRouche candidates and the leadership of the organization represents, is that there's not a dichotomy between political policy and what people express to be political debate and discussion away from the idea of scientific reality. What it is that we have to be educating the population to take on these higher conceptions of physical economic process, higher conceptions of the discussion of the nature of man and man's role in the universe, and what mankind has to develop as what Mr. LaRouche called very profoundly the human immortal species nature, and understanding what that is. And most people looking at our education system today have no idea how to start to even have these types of discussions or these higher debates over these higher ideas, because as Dave said, they've been taught, you know, coming home that, you know, there's nothing for them to discover. Everything's already been discovered. Everything is just whether or not you can crunch numbers and mathematical formulas, and that the human mind is irrelevant when it comes to real processes in society, in the universe. And that is just a farce. That is insane, and that's what we have to destroy, is this conception of degrading the human mind, as said, into bestial status, and put at the forefront of our fight to save civilization this commitment to going to higher and higher frontiers of scientific development. And this is the only chance that mankind has of saving himself from a species saving mankind from a species extinction, is the focus on this higher conception of the identity of man in the universe.
If I could add to that, I would just say that that is politics. You know, I think what Mr. LaRouche is doing right now, in terms of integrating all the various functions of, you know, what we do through the website, whatever, everything being driven through the advancements made by the basement team, the work done through the nation, through the slate of candidates, and the outreach done through the offices around the nation. You know, we're getting back to the integrated conception of what was the foundation of this nation. You know, looking obviously at somebody like a Ben Franklin, where that is what this nation was. It was a nation to be of scientists, statesmen, and science is encompassing the arts and the cultural development, or maybe science underneath the arts and the cultural development, as LaRouche would lay forward. But that's where we have to be. That's what this nation was founded upon, and that's what this slate represents, is a return that we have to have these scientist statesman concept within everybody.
Right. And let's, in the final minutes, mind you, any points you want to make, it's quite open, but just to be regionally specific, because it doesn't take away from it's the same thing, but with certain predicates. Keisha, you're there in a part of our planet that's outstanding for the extreme drought, the months and months and months of no rain, and the very high temperatures. There's been, you mentioned in passing, the food supply crisis we have. There certainly has been a liquidation of herds, and Texas is the leader in the whole continent and worldwide, actually, in beef cattle production. And many of the ranchers have quit. They've quit for a whole lot of reasons, including the British Imperial commodity type of beef slaughtering companies. There are only four big ones in the nation, and they dictate the terms. So without going into particulars, here's an irony, even if you just figured out the world by just your five so-called human senses, which is no way to proceed in our stage of the universe, you know what I mean? You could see something's wrong after decades of monetarism. But do you have any, what is the situation there? Do you want to say anything about it before our hour is over?
Yeah, I think it has been said that we have to go back to these frontiers and break through the frontiers in scientific development, mm-hmm. because the clear thing is, you look at, and I mentioned this earlier, the takedown of NASA, the takedown of our satellite systems, is an expression of this degrading disintegration of man's ability to increase his productive powers over nature. And you look at this from the collapse in food production, as you said, the droughts, what's going on not only here in Texas, but on the reverse in places like Missouri, where you had tornadoes come through and farms and crops are being wiped out because of flood conditions. All of this could have been prevented, and it could be prevented if people are committed to this scientific progress and to the idea that we're going to promote higher states of economic development through the development of our science and NASA. So I think the clear thing, once again, is shutting down the system of monetarism, shutting down this puppet in the White House, Obama, who would say that there's nothing that we can do about hurricanes, there's nothing we can do about tornadoes and earthquakes.
Terrorism.
Yeah, it's completely insane, but we know what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a Hitler in the White House. We're dealing with a guy who doesn't give a damn about what is happening to the population, and that millions of people are going to die because of these policies. So you're going to see a lot more people starving and crops being destroyed unless we actually take up this fight, as we've laid it out here today, this question of the true nature of man, and is the human, or is the population ready to fight for their immortal, their species identity in the galaxy, in the universe, because it has to be on that higher level, or we're not going to win this thing.
Right.
Yeah, I would just add that, you know, what Keisha had said in her statement, cut the bullshit, get Glass-Steagall through, get Obama out, that we're at a, that those are the immediate terms, but, you know, as she just was going through, this idea that we have to get into people's minds this question of the immortality of the species, this question of are we going to survive as a civilization, but in terms of the immediate process, that's what has to be done. And then we could get on to, you know, like this NWAPA project for just dealing what you had mentioned with it. You know, we got all this drought in the south, we've got all this water in the north right now, you have a system that could equalize it. We get into the domain of biospheric engineering and be able to deal with these problems and look to the future as we're doing it.
Right. And what you say, you mentioned too in passing about the earthquake or the seismic, the volcanic potential. Would you just say a bit more on that in closing, in the sense that nothing, it's not as if people react to reality and then come to their senses, but there is a dynamic of certainly you mentioned the outreach, where we're enabling people or reaching into people so they can make the shift to grasp, to understand. Do you find anything special in that regard as to where you are specifically in the Pacific there?
Well, I think, you know, people are concerned. You know, we do have the Cascadia subduction zone. There's no secret that this thing is set to go. We're surrounded by volcanoes. It is on people's minds, and you bring it up and you find out that it's even more than you thought, you know. But I think it does, you know, it's just very, what's even more on people's minds at this point, though, is that it just they're seeing the disintegration around them. And, you know, what this line that Obama keeps reiterating, that we can't predict earthquakes and tornadoes, and now he's added terrorism to the list. It's just very clear he's got Lyndon LaRouche on his mind, because he knows that we're out to bring him down, and that what we have to do is mobilize this American people to get out of their cowardice and say, look, it's time he goes. It's time to get Glass-Steagall in to crush this British imperial system and give us the financing capabilities to go back to a credit system, so that we can actually look at this as putting, if we're going to go into debt, it's going to be for the development of the future. And these kind of pioneer programs, you know, through NASA, through the kind of earthquake prediction, seismic prediction capabilities, forecasting, and, you know, projects like NWAPA, that's just got to say, that's where we're going. But in the meantime, Obama out, Glass-Steagall in.
Well, that's certainly providing the way to move ahead, beginning with what Keisha Rogers said, no more bullshit, and it's Glass-Steagall now. And I want to thank Keisha Rogers and Bill Roberts. Keisha, you kept hitting on the insanity of the debt ceiling debate. Our EIR online editorial this week is saying we don't have it's not the budget deficit, it's the courage deficit. So you are certainly providing the courage, and people need to enlist and financially support. Thank you for listening today. And we're going to continue this discussion. There's no question of whether Congress is in or out of session. All of that is irrelevant. We have to enforce the policy. So with that, we end the July 30th, 2011 LaRouche Show. Thank you both very much.
Thanks,
Thank you, Marcia. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, good. Thanks.